You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Specials Podcast. Dave Kellner here, ready for this world famous sing-song this weekend. It's the Eurovision Song Contest 2016, all the betting available here with William Hill and two stalwarts of the Specials Betting Podcast with us. First of all, a warm welcome to @RealityRobDixon on Twitter, our Specials TV trader, Rob Dixon.
Afternoon, Dave.
How are you, sir?
That was a really nice. That's a really nice intro, is that? Did my mum write that for you?
Yeah. By stalwart, I mean the guy that just basically sits around and produces some odds occasionally.
The old bloke who sits in the corner. Yeah.
That's the one. And on the line, live from Stockholm, obviously Sweden, the host nation of Eurovision this year. It's Gav Lambert from ESCTips.com. Gav, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good to be back. Another year for Eurovision. Yeah, let's get stuck into it.
I was asking you off air what Stockholm's like as a city, because you've been able to explore this year.
Yeah, we've had a lot more time this year. The last few years have been a bit hectic. All the schedule has meant that you were getting up early in the morning, spending all day in the press centre. Whereas we have had a few mornings off. We've gone out and on the evening a few times. I think I nearly broke a metatarsal to Verka Shadushka, which is not wise. Still limping around now.
Okay. Well, we'll put that to one side for a moment while we get stuck into these odds, and hopefully there'll be no scares like this on the podcast this afternoon, Gav. And we've got Russia 8-15 favourite here with William Hill for the Eurovision Song Contest 2016. And they're so short in the market, Rob. How has this market developed? What's the biggest Russia have been in the betting market?
It's not been overly big. It's one of those where you sort of, the market hadn't really moved for Russia. I think they came in about 5-1 or something. So they've been favourites in the lead up to the show. They've been favourite before the rehearsals and stuff, and it's. It could have gone two ways. France, basically Russia and France were the two sort of early runners in this, and it's gone really the way of Russia. But, I mean, I've not really seen anything to suggest that they're this price. It seems they do seem ludicrously short, but then I sat here and said the same about Sweden last year, and they turned up and won. So, yeah, 8-15, it's not for me. But there is, I think there's definitely better each-way alternatives to Russia. But at the moment, everything seems to be going sort of their way. And 8-15, they were sort of around the even money spot before last night's semi-final, which Russia weren't in. Russia were in the first semi-final. So obviously, you'd think they've done very well, if not won that first semi-final. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 8-15, but not for me, I'm afraid.
8-15, Russia are, and their singer is Sergei Lazarev. And he's been compared, Gav, to last year's winner, Måns Zelmerlöw, for Sweden. And they've got almost a national obsession with this competition now, the Russians. They've talked about it maybe enhancing the status of the country politically. They put a lot of stock in Eurovision, whereas some other countries treat it as with a little bit of irony.
Yeah, they do. The Russians always take it seriously. And you always know when Russia wants to win. Because they always put the dream team together. This year they've got Kontopoulos, Kirikov, and then they've got Sergei Lazarev, who's a massive star in Russia. But then they've also got Fokas, who's a staging expert, a Greek staging expert, and he always puts these like little gimmicks. He worked with Sakis with Greece quite a few years ago. And these little gimmicks yes, they can work. I mean, if you're going to stand out at Eurovision, you've got to have some kind of visual branding. And Russia have done that well this year. Comparing him to Mons last year probably goes as far as the staging. Yes, it uses the similar projection concept, but what Sergei struggles with is the emotion side of things.
Right.
It's all very robotic, very cold. I watched the BBC feed the day after the first semi-final, and even the commentators, Scott Mills, they picked up on the fact that it's so good it could have won last year, so that they're automatically saying that it's a copy of last year's concept. But to me, I think Russia are false favourites. Songs of this type, which it's quite dated, hence they've had to cover it up with the staging concept. These types of songs have tended to finish outside of the top five with the jury score.
Right.
Two recent ones was, again, Sakis. Sakis Rivas for Greece. I think he was something about like seventh. But then Eric Sada, he finished ninth on the jury score. So, and you've got to do well on both sides of the score, juries and televote, to win Eurovision. So that's why I think Russia is a silly short price.
8-15, Russia. Opposable then, according to Gav and according to Rob. Second favourites are Australia. They're in the betting at 4-1. And Dami Im is their performer. She performed Sound of Silence in the semi-final. Second Australian entry into the European Song Competition after Guy Sebastian last year, Gav, finished in the top five as the wild card entry.
Yep.
And Im won X Factor back in 2013, and she moved to Australia from South Korea when she was 9 years old, and she learned English by listening to the Spice Girls.
Yeah,
Australia 4-1.
I was never keen on this song. I kind of struggled with it. It's got a real plodding chorus, but since coming to Stockholm, they've added some vocal variations. Really lifted the performance. The stage show was a bit flat at first, but again, since those vocal variations, it lifted the whole presentation. I think last night's semi-final really propelled Australia into potential favouritism. I think they won last night's semi-final, or if not, came second. They've been given every chance of winning by getting the 13th slot. So SVT, the local broadcaster, they put them as late as possible in that semi-final. Automatically today, they're already number one or number two, depending on when you refresh your browser, on the iTunes downloads charts. So it's already getting loads of airplay and loads of downloads. It's been picked up very strongly in Sweden. So I think it's going to be a classic East versus West battle. And it could go very similar to last year with Australia winning. I think that should be the favourite, the market favourite.
Wow, 4-1 compared to 8-15. And Gav, Eurovision expert, saying it should be favourite, Rob.
Yeah, can definitely make a case for it. It's we've seen plenty of money today. I think we were 6-1 after the semi-final last night. The running order, it did get a first half slot, which traditionally is probably the worst side to be on, but they've put them at 13th, which is slap bang in the middle of tomorrow night's final. So, yeah, they've done everything they can to push them, and we'll get onto sort of Ukraine in a minute, but they've put Australia after France, which to me thinks, especially in that first half, that they favour Australia over France, and that's probably, is definitely the standout act. What around there is probably quite a weak part going at sort of Germany, Poland, Cyprus, Serbia, it's a good slot to be in.
What's the biggest price Australia have been?
Australia were 12-1 when it was announced that they were going back in again this year. So it's steady money. It's a lot more sort of each way money. It's people, as Gav says, you want to try and oppose this favourite, and a lot of sort of an each way bet to nothing at the moment, sort of 4 or 5 to 1. So it's difficult. You can't really see it coming outside the top four. Whether it's got enough to win, don't know. I just wonder if somewhere down the line there's the integrity of the competition, but they don't mind Australia being in it for sort of 2-3 years, whether they want Australia to win it, whether the logistics of Australia winning it means that another country would have to host it. It does get a bit tricky, but I could definitely see Australia, to me, are a lock-in for a place.
50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4 here with William Hill as well, so you can still back Australia each way at 4-1. Next in the market is the Ukraine, 8-1 out of the Ukraine. And how have they moved in the market, first of all, Rob?
Yeah, Ukraine, another one that they've been pretty strong over the sort of last few years, and I think this is probably their strongest sort of act for a long time. Rehearsals have gone absolutely fantastic for it. It's strange because there's been so much talk of Russia and Australia. Ukraine seems to be the one that's sort of been, maybe over the last couple of days, I don't know if Gav feels differently, Ukraine seems to be the one that's been forgotten about, really. And I think 8-1 is absolutely massive price. I backed it sort of midway through the rehearsals at sort of just over sort of double figures. But I mean, 8-1, just to me, it strikes value. We're talking about the gap between Australia and France, and they've done that as well in the second half, where I think the 21st, I think, Ukraine come out compared to Russia's 18th. So the fact they've put Ukraine again after Russia means maybe they're favouring the Ukraine. And again, it's in there. Spain, I think, Spain have sort of been put really under the bus going behind Russia. Latvia I've actually backed as well, more for sort of each way value. So my two are in together at 20 and 21. But I mean, after that, there's not really much after that. Malta was a good performance in the semi-final, but then sort of Georgia to me is a little bit more of a sort of novelty act, and you can probably talk away the bottom three. Don't really stand much of a chance for me. So Ukraine are in a really in pole position for the final, and I'm amazed that they've drifted out to what to me is a backable price.
8-1 they are, the Ukraine. Gav, this isn't your typical Eurovision song either, is it? Jazz artist Jamala is the performer, and she's a household name in the Ukraine, but she's the first ever Crimean to perform at the contest. Her song is about Stalin, about Crimea, claims of ethnic cleansing. It's bound to be a little bit controversial, and one thing is for certain, they're not going to get anything from Russia, the Ukraine, I don't think.
Yeah, that's true, but they will get something on the televote. The two are independent of each other this year. And there's obviously going to be loads of Ukrainian diaspora living in Russia and neighbouring countries, so Russia can't control that side of things. The interesting thing here is in relation to the price, and something Rob picked out, is that Ukraine does go after Russia. SVT have again helped Ukraine over Russia, so the signals are quite clear. I don't think Eurovision wants to go to Russia next year. Interestingly, I'm just in rehearsals at the moment, and they started the show, and they actually made like a little speech about Eurovision, that it kind of brought Europe together after a period of war, and there are troubled waters ahead in Europe at the moment. It's almost like a little stab at Russia. So there's this little narrative there. As for the song, I think it's amazing. It's an emotional performance, and it's difficult not to get drawn in by Jamala's the way that she acts out the song. I can see it in relation to Russia. There are probably five songs ahead on the jury score of Russia, which again is another good reason not to be back in the short price for Russia. Ukraine is going to be one of them. It's already doing better than expected on iTunes. And bearing in mind, it's not the kind of thing that you'd expect people to download on iTunes, and it is doing well. It's going to be picking up all of the Baltic support. It's also in the press conference last night, one of the journalists from Poland said that they would all be voting for Ukraine, and the Polish jury would be supporting Ukraine. So you've got more points there. So lots of support for this. It's very political, but the support there for Ukraine.
Do you like the price, Gav, at 8-1?
Definitely. Yeah, it's got a place. It's a place written all over it.
Each way, again, a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, if you fancy the Ukraine at 8-1. What about France, 10-1, Gav? Their representative is a 31-year-old Israeli singer, Amir Haddad, who goes by the stage name Amir, and he's a certified dentist, and
what are we doing Monday morning?
I was going to ask if he might be pulling teeth here. He was established on the 2006 Israeli American Idol. That was where he had his first piece of fame as a singer. And he's also been a soldier as well. So numerous different career paths for Amir. And France 10-1. Is that too short then, Gav? I think you, I think you're intimating there. Short.
Yeah, I've been quite vocal about France for quite some time. I would have it 1,000-1. I really would.
Right.
I don't think it's got a hope in hell. I think it's been backed in because it's done well in the fan polls. Fan polls are skewed by a particular demographic. It's a nice song. It's got Scandinavian influences, so it's quite contemporary and modern. I think whenever songs get entered and they've got that little touch of French in them, they always get picked up by the nostalgic fans. So it automatically does well in the polls. The main problem is that he's alone on stage. His charisma, which he does have charisma, but it's not Mons Zemelov charisma. It's just smile and nodding and posturing. It's an empty stage. He struggles in the freestyle section towards the end of the song. So it's automatically going to be losing points with the juries and televoters, actually, because when you hear that, you don't vote for it. But also then think in a field of 26 countries being followed then by Poland, which I hate the song, but he gives a better vocal, then Australia, what should be the market leader. Then you've got Cyprus, Serbia, all better vocalists following. I think 12th is the top score, France.
Okay, France 10-1, Rob.
Yeah, France have probably know they've sort of had the I've had a bet on them sort of attitude. They were 5-2 before the rehearsals. They've drifted every single rehearsal. They drifted out after the semi-final. They weren't even in the semi-finals and they still drifted out, and they've been drifting out again today. So as it's better than what France normally send, but as Gav says, I think the horse is bolted with France. And I think only the fact that maybe it's difficult. I can't see. I think they get in the top 10,
right?
But they're not going to be 1,000-1 with us. Leicester City all over again. But I just can't. There's two or three better than them now, definitely. So
my play would be to oppose them in match bets.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have got lots of match bets on the William Hill website right now, so do check those out. We'll maybe talk about a few of those at the end of the podcast. Let's just have a quick word on Sweden before we talk about the UK entrant and maybe look at some potential outsiders as well. Because Sweden are less than 20-1 in the betting, 14-1 Sweden are to win Eurovision. And their singer, Gav, here is Franz, and he found fame, apparently, singing football anthems as a child, one of which was dedicated to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and it spent 13 weeks at the top of the Swedish charts. And it's a contemporary pop song, this one, and it's even been played on Radio 1. So yep. I wonder whether this is a little bit overpriced, Sweden at 14-1, Gav.
Yeah, he's just coming on in rehearsals now, actually.
Right, okay.
This is my favourite song of the year. It's a brilliantly contemporary song. He was so underrated going into the Swedish Melody Festival, which is their pre-selection show. And he was up against all of these big names, and all of a sudden he came to the semi-final. He wasn't even in the last slot. And he beat the favourite Molly Sandén. And what happened was is that he took to the stage and just owned it in a very simplistic way, almost unrehearsed way. Mm. He just has this charm that just seems to infect, you know, mothers, girls, grandmas. He just connects with people. The song, as you said, it's been picked up on Radio 1. It's been heavily pushed by Columbia, the record company, across Europe. It's getting radio play, even in Moscow, all across the world, in fact. It actually topped the Spotify viral chart shortly after it was released. It went 3 times platinum in Sweden. It's doing very well on Spotify across Europe. In fact, it's the only Eurovision song that is charting in more than three countries on Spotify.
Right.
This is going to do very well. Very well. If there was a dark horse, I would say it'd be Sweden. But at the moment, it's just presenting outstanding top 10 and each way value.
What about the slot? Drawn in nine. Is that a negative?
Well, no, because you can still do well. The last two winners came from the first half. It's certainly not ideal, but it is a low-quality contest this year. The points totals, I think, are going to be very close together. I don't think we're going to get a runaway winner. And Sweden, they could do surprisingly well. It's a brilliant song. It's very Justin Bieber or Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Very now sounding. This will be an international hit.
Yeah, I like this one. I must admit, I listened through to the first, the songs from the first five or six in the betting, Rob, and this is the one that stood out to me at 14-1. Are the negatives with Sweden or not?
It's difficult. The negative is the fact that no country's ever won it twice in a row for 20 years, I'd say. So there's always that. It's obviously a very costly exercise hosting this. So you kind of sometimes think that it's a little bit of a sort of a lost leader and you don't really want to win it again. But the fact that Sweden...
But that doesn't matter on the night,
does
it?
No, not on the night. And the plus it's got is it's very good to listen to. And I'd say, especially in the UK, probably 75-80% of people will be listening to this song tomorrow night for the first time. And it's one of those memorable songs. There's plenty of songs in this list now that you won't ever remember. You probably won't even remember it 5 minutes after you've listened to it. But
actually, Rob, loads of these people who have already heard it because it's been played in Starbucks, McDonald's, shopping malls across the world.
The truth of the matter is you might have heard the song, but you wouldn't have noticed who sang it and in what sort of meaning.
I think that's even better, though, for Sweden, that some people, Gav, might have heard it out and about, as you mentioned, in coffee shops or in fast food restaurants, and think, I remember that. This is a really good song. I like that kid. I'm going to vote for Franz on the night. And as you mentioned, he's got that connection as well. Being just 17 years old, I think that's a positive for him rather than a negative.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I compare him, if anything, to Germany's winner, Lena. He has that very unassuming style. Unrehearsed style. It's just very, very likeable.
14-1 for Sweden,
14-1.
How big has he been in the market? Sweden have been?
Sweden's one of these acts that hasn't really changed. It's been around. They were short after the Melody Festival and win. You get those sort of couple of days where everyone thinks, oh, that's going to do well. So it came into sort of 6-7-1. We've not really laid Sweden this year. It's a bizarre one. There's certain countries that you sort of lay every single year. UK being a prime example. Sweden's a really out of the sort of five or six at the top of the list. Sweden's the really one that we want to get over the line.
You want Sweden to win.
Yeah. So based on that, I'll always speaking completely from the field book, I'll always favour that. The early slot, but it's not got much around it. Sort of Israel, Bulgaria, Germany. Sweden stands out quite nicely where it is.
This is one of those that I can imagine will trade shorter in running as well.
Yeah, definitely. Sweden will be single figure. Once Sweden have performed tomorrow night, they're single figures.
Yeah.
Whether it stays single figures and goes on to win, I don't know. But it definitely at 14-1 is probably worth a decent trade. Definitely, again, we're looking at each way value because the favourite's so short.
I will come to some of the outsiders very shortly. It is 25-1, bar the five nations we've spoken about. The United Kingdom in the betting at 33-1, Rob. First of all, is it the worst result in the book?
Yes. Yeah, we've got.
Is it always the worst result in the book?
Always the worst result in the book every year. Russia's the worst of what we've got, but UK is always out there, and it'd be six figures come tomorrow. It's roughly at about 40,000 now. I'd imagine it would be somewhere around sort of between 150 and 250 normally. And I can't see it being any different because people just want to back the UK to win. It's the same as England winning the World Cup in football. It will always be the worst result because you will always get the patriotic 5 and 10. If I've got to watch it with the wife, I'll have a 5 on it. And that's how it works.
It's Joe and Jake this year. Joe Wolford and Jake Shakeshaft, who made their names singing in the voice in 2015, and both of them made reasonable progress in the competition as well. Do you give it any, Rob, do you give it any sort of hope, the UK?
I always tend to get the UK. I've had hope before with the UK, and it's always sort of really come to nothing. And kind of, I mean, it's, I think it's 10 years now since, I think they've had one top 10 finish in 10 years. And this isn't too bad, I'll be honest with you. The rehearsals have been good. 33-8. It's not for me at 33-1. Does it get a top 10 finish at, I think, the 4-1? Again, you know what you're going to lay for the UK. So you're artificially short on most options. The UK finishing position is interesting. I think it does enough to get them out of the... We're 8-11 form to finish 21st or lower. I think it does enough to get out of that. So I think it's 17th to 20th at 7-2. I can see it being around that sort of 15th to 20th.
Okay. If you're looking at the top 10 finish, the UK is 7-2 in that market here with William Hill right now. Gav, how do you rate the UK's chances?
I think it's a big improvement. I was initially sceptical. I kind of thought it was a typical 20th to 26th because at the national final it looked so amateurish, but the BBC have done a really good job with the staging. They work really well together. It still looks a bit amateurish, but huge improvement. The UK are quite hopeful, actually. They've got a pretty good draw-ish, but I think maybe a bit of lag will come into then after we've had the big favourites out of the way, especially as Georgia comes in at 23. After that, it pretty much goes downhill. But I'm fairly hopeful of maybe UK finishing the top big five or something.
Right.
There are a few countries involved in that. I think Italy and UK are the ones that are the main ones. I think Italy is rightly the favourite, but I think I think UK should be a closer favourite.
Okay, the UK 33-1, a whole host of UK finishing position markets on the website. Loads of UK specials, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the main one is the UK finishing position, and that's the one that we'll also be trading in running tomorrow night, as long as with the outright. So if you fancy to come first to fourth, it's 12-1. Fifth to eighth is 10-1. Ninth to 12th is 9-1. 13th to 16th, I think, is the one I'm going to go for. That's 6-1. 17th to 20th, 7-2. 21st or lower, so you get a bigger band with that. That's 8-11.
Gav, are there any other nations that are worthy of mention here? Maybe some nations that you think could surprise and you'd be looking to play in match bets and top 10 finishes and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I think Latvia is a good call for top 10, but then also potentially a bit of each way. There's a chance that lands fourth place, the typical edgy fourth place, previously occupied by Margaret Berger in 2013 for Norway and Belgium last year. It could do quite well. The running order slot suggests it did very well in the semi-final. So the top 10 should be okay. It just then depends whether it lands that fourth place. If Russia does do worse than expected with the juries, Latvia being one of the countries ahead of it, that's got a chance of landing. Another cracking top 10, which I think is on the back of how well received Georgia were received last night. 9-1 top 10. I think that's pretty good. That's a real livener right towards the back end of the running order. You've already got Ukraine and Russia in the top 10. There's probably room for one more. It just depends whether it's Armenia or Georgia. Personally, I like the value of Georgia.
Georgia 9-1, big price to finish in the top 10. Latvia 4-9 in that market. But if you fancy each way on Latvia, in the betting at 50-1, any outsiders for you, Rob?
No, I do take on the Latvia one. I was looking more at sort of your Belgiums and Netherlands, maybe one of
Belgium's
those.
A good one. Belgium is a good one for top 10.
Yeah, one of those two to odds against. So Netherlands have actually today just gone 4-5, but yeah. Belgium 13-8 top 10.
Gav, what are your definitive selections then, as things stand with the markets? We're recording this on Friday afternoon at 2:30 UK time. As the markets stand right now, what are your bets for Eurovision 2016? Best bets?
Yeah, my main wins are Australia, Ukraine, and Sweden. In that order, actually.
I think the Ukraine one definitely is still outstanding each way value, and I must leave here to get on again. So Ukraine each way for the win. Belgium top 10 finish at 13-8, and I do like the look of that UK 13th to 16th, I think we agree.
Yeah, 6-1.
At the 6-1.
I should really mention the last place.
That's quite a good market.
That could be quite fruitful this year. I've been taking a look at that. I'm quite interested in it. I think Germany is a good favourite at about 3.5. I've just watched Czech Republic. They're in slot 2. She was a bit shaky, maybe a bit forgettable. She's, I think, 8-1 at the moment on William Hill.
Yeah, she is.
But then I would also chuck in Hungary, 10-1. Reason I say that is it's back in 2012, a very similar song by Compact Disco finished 24th with 19 points. Norway finished last that year with 7 points. So, again, it's a very similar song, equally forgettable, could also land.
Very good. Hungary in the betting at 10-1. Germany are the 5-2 favourites in that market. Gav, thank you for your company. It's been a pleasure. Gav Lambert live from Stockholm. ESCtips.com is Gav's website. That's the home of the Eurovision and the Melfest betting podcast. So do check out Gav's website. Gav, enjoy a safe journey home. Enjoy Euro 2016 tomorrow night, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you to Gav Lambert. Thank you as well to you, Rob Dixon.
Cheers, mate.
And thank you to everyone that's listened to the podcast here with William Hill. Make sure you get your bets on. Check out all the markets on the William Hill website. And we will, of course, be betting play on the Eurovision Song Contest 2016 as well. Thank you for your company, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.